Hi, I'm Anthony Brabazon.
And I'm Paul Caffrey.
And this is the God Talk programme for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we'll be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
Our text number during the programme is 087 69 44 500, and we'd love to hear from you. And then you can also email us on nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com, or you can get us on Twitter at nearfmgodtalk.
And greetings go out today to James Buckley and Kyle Holland and Ron Mullins also. Now, Eddie on the North Strand. Now, he's not out swimming, but he's on the North Strand. Nobody's swimming today,
well,
I don't think.
Yeah.
And, of course, greetings to my good friend, Billy Jago. Hi to you, Billy. And I'll be over for the cup of tea very soon with you and the bag of crisps. And thanks also to our podcast staff at Near FM, at Stoney and Paul.
Okay, really. And I'd like to send greetings to a very regular listener is Spencer Jones in Northfield, Minnesota, formerly of Dublin.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, Spencer, he's a former landscape architect, but he's a wonderful
He's still
guy.
A good guy, yeah. He gives us some feedback from time to time. He often phones me on Monday night and says, oh, that was a good programme today, or maybe not so good, you could have done more of this or less of that. So
that's
anyway.
Right. Well, critics, we love to hear from you, good, bad or indifferent.
So and, do text or do email. We really would love to get feedback.
And that text number again, it's 087 69 44 500. And the machine's lined up here for you. So what we're going to do today, well, first thing I want to say is great to have you back, Paul.
Thank you. After my long absence last week.
After his long absence. Well, it was well filled by Sean Cronin.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to Sean. It was a great programme and a very good interview. Well done, Anthony, and well done, Sean, if you're listening in, Sean.
Yep. And of course, if you missed that programme, you can get it on the nearfm.ie website, and it's on our podcast section.
With all our previous 16 God Talk
That's
programmes.
That's right. Gosh,
since
time flies.
August. It does. Those months
sure
have really gone
flies
fast.
Away with us. Well, a few things planned with the Christmas coming, and we've a bit of a Christmas theme today too as well, because you know, a lot of people talk about Christmas, well, what's it all about? And some people say, oh, well, I'm just jumping on a plane, I'm avoiding it, going to a sunny climate. And others say, I love all the trimmings and the turkeys and the trees and the everythings. And I love Christmas, I have to say. My other half, of course, does all the hard work, but I so appreciate it.
Yeah, you're lucky you have another half to do all that stuff.
There you go. Well, you always buy a cheap set of lights, Paul, and stick them in and you're done.
Well, I have a nativity set. I have a crib set up, and I get these hand-carved wooden pieces. They come from Austria. So the latest one arrived last week, and it's a camel and a driver of a camel.
What do you mean the latest one arrived? You get a new one every year?
Okay, yeah, I get a new one every year. That's the custom. I remember when I bought the first one, I was in holidays in Austria, hiking, walking about 15 years ago. And they said, well, we add a piece every year. So I said, well, I'm starting kind of late, so I better fast track. So I get about two pieces each year. But I think I pretty much have the whole set now. And they're beautiful. They're hand-carved in Val Gardena up in the Dolomites.
Wonderful, yeah. Well, really, the main essence of Christmas, of course, is Christmas. It's about Jesus. It was
right.
His birthday. Mm-hmm. Now, you could argue whether it was the exact day or not, but we do celebrate
it's
his
when we celebrate, sure.
At that time. Mm-hmm. And it's a good question we're really going to kick off with today. We're going to say, or ask, why did Jesus come?
Mm.
So, Paul,
we have some scriptures lined up.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that sometimes I lined up about 10 different verses of scripture. I remember looking into this a few years ago, where Jesus actually states very clearly why he has come, why he came. Because people, remember that our roving reporter last week asked, I think it was Barbara was the interviewee,
yeah,
well, why did Jesus come? Would it have made any difference if he didn't come? And people think, well, why did he come? And it's interesting to look at the times he says, well, I didn't come. For example, he says, I didn't come to abolish the law, not to abolish the law, not to judge the world, not to call the righteous. And for example, you might think he came to set us all a good example, but he didn't. And he never said that.
Well, hold on, slow down there a minute, Paul. I mean, did he not do that? Not come set a good
He did
example.
Set us an example, but he never said any time, I've come to show you how to live, do things my way.
Yeah, right. And I think really the essence of most people's or many people's religions, certainly it used to be my religion, the idea of trying to do your best. mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. it sounds like the right thing to do, but the reality is that Jesus came for a very clear and specific reason.
Mm, that's right.
I love that. Did you ever hear Handel's Messiah?
Yes, I was at it last Friday night in the concert hall.
Oh, well done.
Our Ladies' yeah. Choral Society yeah. Conductor Pontius O'Dinn, and they did a fabulous job
there's
on it.
There's a song they do in that, and it really grabs me every time, is, you know, where they sing, I'm going to sing it now, are you ready? For unto us a child is born,
a son is given. That's
and
right.
That's straight out of the book of Isaiah. And really, when it says a child is born, it's talking about Bethlehem, it's talking mm-hmm. about the birth of Jesus. When it says a son is given, it's talking about Calvary, about God giving his son mm-hmm. for his life for ours. So it really gets me the power of those words straight from the scripture, and as is most of Handel's Messiah.
All of it.
All of it, yeah. And some people think, oh, I love the Christmas and the cuddliness of the shepherds and the star and the cuddly stable and the ox and all this crack, mm-hmm. you know. But nobody's thinking about Calvary.
Yeah. It's interesting. He says that in that passage in Isaiah, it's Isaiah chapter 9, it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. In other words, that he was coming to rule and to reign. He was coming as king, in fact.
Yeah,
and remember the gifts that the Magi brought. One of them, you know, it was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, the idea of gold for a king.
Yeah.
So it was royalty. He was coming as royalty, even though he was his royalty well, and his godhead was hidden.
He is coming as a king. He came mm. first time as a servant to make the way for our access to God. There's a scripture here, Paul, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I just
sure.
read it out here?
Yeah.
It says, for the Son of Man has come. This is the words of Jesus directly. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
That's right. The context there is, it's around the story of Zacchaeus. Remember, Zacchaeus was the tax gatherer, the tax collector.
The little guy.
The little
tree.
Guy. He went up on the tree, the sycamore tree.
And
Jesus comes along and he says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today. So hurried, come down. And so Jesus meets Zacchaeus, and Jesus goes into his house, and people take great exception to the fact that Jesus has gone to eat with this man who would be a pariah. He'd be a social outcast for most of the Jews because of his business, because he was collecting taxes for the occupying force, for the Roman government.
Like a senior corrupt banker who was
yeah.
swindling his own
exactly.
people.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
In
corrupt,
with the
corrupt tax collector.
You couldn't get worse, could
and,
you?
But the extraordinary thing is that Jesus didn't say to him at any stage, Zacchaeus, what you're doing is wrong. And I find this fascinating. I can't think of any case where Jesus actually said to anybody, you're a sinner.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't point out. But there was something about his life, his character, his person.
John the Baptist did, didn't he?
John the Baptist did. He was the one that prepared the way. And he certainly did. He called them out in no uncertain terms. Mm-hmm. But Jesus actually didn't. I mean, he showed them, he demonstrated a life of that was somehow very, very attractive, very radiant. People flocked to hear him. They were stayed away from home for days on end, even doing without food and drink, just
but
to
he,
be with
but
him.
But he did take on the Pharisees now. You know, you brood of vipers. You know,
he did, yeah, but I suppose what I'm saying is he didn't the kind of conventional pointing out of sins that we would think of, the sort of thing that used to happen a lot in the churches in Ireland, people, you know, priests from the altar reading out this, that and the other sin, giving out about whatever it was.
Gosh, I must have been asleep at Mass after
I don't think you were at Mass. I don't think you were at Mass at all, Anthony. I really have doubts about you sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he didn't do that. He didn't call people out. He didn't point out their sins. He did, you're right, with the religious authorities. He gave them a very hard time because they were hypocrites. But let's call them the ordinary, the decent sinners. Let's call them the people that were just, you know, doing wrong things and knew they were doing it wrong and that were on the wrong side of the religious divide, as it were.
Yeah.
They were really attracted to him. And in fact, it says people like the tax collectors, the prostitutes, all of those, the drunks and so on and so forth, they would be the sort of the outcasts of our society. They really flocked to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he never said to them, your life is a mess, you're doing it wrong, because they knew it already.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, wow.
But Zacchaeus actually said, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor.
Yeah.
If I've defrauded anyone or anything, I restore it fourfold, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus didn't tell him to do that. He was somehow touched by the person and the goodness of Jesus that he just, there was a repentance went on. He just knew what he was doing was wrong, and he just, his life turns around. And then Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. In other words, this man is saved in his household. And he says, he also is a son of Abraham. Even though the Pharisees would not have recognized him as a son of Abraham. As far as they were concerned, he was a traitor to Judaism and to the people in the nation and so on and so forth. And Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost.
And
so he sought him out. You know, he went after him. He went looking for him up the tree, called him down. I want to come to your house today.
He sure did. Here's another great one. Why did Jesus come? I think you find it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Have a quick look at that. 1 John 3, 8.
The first letter of John, one of those small books.
He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I have to say, if you hear nothing else today, that must be encouraging, that because we see the devil just mucking up so many people's lives, families, addictions, situations, you know, just destruction. He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because I always think of those two verses together. Jesus said, you know, that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you look at someone whose life is messed up with addiction or with crime. And it's, their lives have been stolen from them, years of their lives. I'm thinking of people I know that have, you know, coming out of addiction, and there may be this 10, 15, 20 years of their lives gone.
Ruined.
There's just nothing. There's a vacuum there, nothing but destruction. And he says, the devil, the thief, Jesus calls him, and that's in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, when he's talking about the good shepherd. He says, the thief, the wolf that comes in, steals, kills, and sometimes it's physically death. People sometimes actually die physically from overdose, addiction, or whatever, and destroy lives, destroyed families, destroyed homes, destroyed neighborhoods, destroyed, etc., etc., cities destroyed. You know, we had our friend on some weeks back from Mexico. You know, talking about a whole city that had been destroyed.
That's right.
But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly, fullness of life. And in doing that, he was destroying the works of the devil.
I love that. The Hebrew scriptures are so poetic, really, because this talks about destroying the destroyer.
That's
right. Which is kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Know, I mean, this is really like an action-packed Hollywood film, you know. You got the baddie, and he's really terrorizing you throughout the whole story. And then at the end, he's just done away with. And it's always such a relief when that happens. But this is real-life stuff we're talking about here. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And the way he did it was not just to drop a nuclear bomb on a certain part of the planet. It was to get to the heart of mankind. Because the really, that's where the corruption is happening. People's lives are in a mess because it's coming out of their hearts, out of their lives, the very innermost part. And I know for myself, years ago when I was 23 years old, it was my heart got, I got a heart transplant. Not in the hospital, but when I met Jesus Christ, he gave me a new heart and a new spirit. And out of that, you can walk with him and know him personally. It's powerful.
And that was the promise of the old covenant. It says, a new heart I'll give you, put my law within you. So it's a change from the inside. So what happened to Zacchaeus, he didn't get a lecture from Jesus. He just got a new heart. So somehow that encounter actually meant that, you know, his whole attitude was changed.
Yeah. Got another one here. This is Luke chapter 5, verse 32. It says, Jesus said, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Yeah.
Now, This is wild. There's another scripture saying that the healthy don't need the doctor.
The physician. Yeah, exactly. The healthy don't need the physician, but the sick do. So if you're sick, you need.
Well, I know Paul in evangelism. You talk to many people on the street about the gospel, and many say, "Oh, I'm all right. I don't need that. I'm not. I'm not sick. I'm not bad. I'm not." You know, that message is for some other fellow over there, and it's like, until we see our need, we cannot really receive help, can we?
No. The context of that particular one, you're looking at Luke chapter 5, it was the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at the disciples of Jesus. They grumbled. They said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? So again, they rebuked Jesus and his disciples. They said, your master hangs around with very disreputable people. They're sinners, they're tax collectors, they're, and so on. And then Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick.
Yeah.
And then he says, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. So the righteous would have been the tax collectors, the scribes. Now, we would probably, if we were writing that today, we'd put the word righteous in quotation marks. You know what I mean? The righteous, the people that think they are righteous. Yeah. I haven't come to call the holy people.
Yeah.
You know, you make the sign for quotation marks, meaning people who think that they're holy, people who think that they're righteous. In other words, people who are self-righteous.
Even use the word good. You know, I mean, you ask people, so many people say they're a good person. And so why do you need a saviour if you're a good person?
Exactly.
And the gospel really, first of all, it strips away the fact that, hey, we're not good. We broke God's law.
That's right.
You know, we've lied, we've stolen. You know, it's perfect God we're going to meet on Judgment Day. And so, you know, it is this, you know, you're not going to get the cure until you realise you're sick.
Sure.
Simple as that.
Yeah. But so you think, for example, at Christmas, you look at the crib, you look at the baby in the manger, you hear the carols and all that stuff. So little of, I mean, how many people would actually think this person, this baby has come actually as a doctor for those who are sick? Yeah. He has actually come as this baby is going to cure the sickness of the world.
Mm.
He has come to call sinners to repentance, because that's why his name Jesus means savior.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Wow.
The angel said,
that's right.
You know, you'll call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins.
Yeah, and that's powerful. Look, it's great at Christmas time to talk about this, because it's the essence of why Jesus came. We may come back to this, Paul,
mm-hmm,
because
sure.
there's more to talk about. But we're going to move on, because the prayer that we have today, the psalm, it's Psalm 34. We're going to do it a bit different, aren't we?
We are. Yes,
we like different.
We're always
we like
trying change, new stuff on this show. Okay.
So,
what are we going to do differently?
We're
going to
both do it. See, I'm going to read a bit and you're going to read a bit.
But what is this psalm about, or who wrote it, Anthony? This is your choice this
King
week.
King David wrote it, and he wrote it. There was a time when he feigned madness. He was in front of a king. It was Abimelech, wasn't it?
Yeah, Abimelech. He was on the run from Saul.
He was on the run from Saul, and he grabbed Goliath's sword, this huge thing. You know, and then he decided to queue up in Abimelech's court as a refuge seeking refugee status.
I remember Abimelech said, haven't I enough madmen here already? I don't need another one.
He said that after David, you see, was found out. One of the guys ratted on him.
That's
he
right.
said, aren't you the guy they're singing about who murdered Saul and everything? And so he knew he was going to be in big trouble now. He was in the wrong camp. So he foamed in the mouth and he acted like a lunatic, you know. And the guy said, as you've just said, don't we have enough madmen here?
We don't need another one, yeah.
But really, God was, throughout all this craziness of David, he was the Lord was merciful to him, and he penned this psalm. So it starts off, I will extol the Lord at all times, his praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord and he answered me, he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked, but the foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned.
That's powerful. Gosh, that Sam really get you going, wouldn't it?
Sure.
It's Sam 34, that was, 34. If you want to look it up yourselves, listeners, later. And what really grabbed me too is verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. It's God's protection is around you if you're walking with him. And that's the encouragement is today.
Heavenly peace. That's the gift of God to each one of us. Jesus comes to bring peace time and time again. Remember, he said to Mary, fear not. He says, it's peace I come, peace I leave with you. So if you're feeling lost or confused or just any of those conditions that we talked about earlier on, just ask him, call out to him and ask him to come as he came to Bethlehem, and that he's always ready to come into any heart. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I'll come in and I'll dine with him.
Now, I know any time of year is good to receive Jesus Christ, but particularly Christmas time. You know, you walk in the shops, you'll hear the songs about Jesus, you know. And you know, if we give our hearts to him, it's the very reason there's breath in your body today and your heart is beating. God made you. He loves you. He made you for a purpose. And that purpose was to know him. So on that note, we're going to say goodbye. We'll be here next week, Paul, won't we?
We certainly will.
And 5 o'clock on Mondays.
5 o'clock Monday, God Talk.
God Talk, Near FM 90.3. And God bless you all.
God bless listeners.